Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's Q&A call. Welcome all new members. If this is your first call, this is Lisa Minnini with Accelerate Associates, and I just want to extend a very warm welcome to you. If you've been on these calls before, then you know the purpose of the Q&A calls is to get your questions answered so that you can move forward quickly onto the next thing, whether it's implementing a section of or a piece of the Entrepreneurial Edge system, or you have a question about marketing your business or about a system. This is where you're going to find answers to your questions. I also want to thank the many of you who have called in or submitted your questions to us so that I can answer them for you. And again, the email that you want to send your questions to is info@accelerateassociates.com. I also want to send a reminder to you that the Influencers Exchange is going to replace the Q&A calls. What we've noticed over the years is that the Q&A calls, people ask the questions during their laser coaching calls anyway. So we are changing the Q&A calls into the Influencers Exchange, which is very different. The Influencers Exchange is going to be where you come onto the call live, except that it's about growing your business. It's about growing your influence, your impact, your income by creating great relationships with people. And through those relationships, you're going to create an ask. And each session, you're going to learn a little bit more about creating referral systems and how you can create referral systems that work for you to continuously fill your pipeline. And so these, your Influencers Exchange are other Success Circle members that you can collaborate with and ask for help. Ask for help in growing your business. And you do that through what's called an ask. And an ask is a way or something that you need for your business, whether it's a shout out on social media, likes on your pages, or simply, you know, introductions to other people that can help you grow your business. It's just one of the features that we're changing in the Success Circle to help accelerate your business results. So stay tuned for more. I'll be making an announcement at the Wake Up Profitable Intensive that happens April 25th through the 27th. And while we're there, I'm going to tell you about some other upcoming events. Again, remember that's April 25th through the 27th, the Wake Up Profitable last 3-day intensive. So if you have never been to this, you need to come. But the last 3-day intensive, and what that means is we're just automating the Wake Up Profitable Intensive. Or a piece of it. So this is going to be the last one that you're seeing at 3 days. Wow, it's quite an event, very interesting announcements that we're going to be making at it. So you really don't want to miss it. You don't want to put it off. Really great stuff that we're going, and amazing people that are going to be there, best-selling authors, thought leaders, and different experts, transformational leaders. It's going to be awesome. So again, that's April 25th to the 27th, and you can register for the Wake Up Profitable Intensive at entrepreneurialedgesystem.com. That's entrepreneurialedgesystem.com. And a couple of other upcoming events. We have the 7 Secret Steps to Automated Income happening this Thursday, March. What is this Thursday? It's 28th. So you want to sign up for that under the events at accelerateassociates.com. That's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E associates.com. That's the main page. So feel free to go under events, and you can register for that teleseminar or that training call, which is a teleseminar, on this Thursday at noon Eastern Time. Let's see what else we've got here. Upcoming events, mark your calendars for April 9th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's your next Business Accelerator call. And what that's about is it's Facebook time to get down to business on Facebook with the lovely Laura Rubenstein, who is a social media expert. And on April 9th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, she's going to share with you all about Facebook. You know, Facebook is capturing 1 in 11 internet visits And it's a very, very robust platform for cultivating relationships, getting speaking engagements, becoming a best-selling author, and using it to set up a Facebook fan page. But for some of you, you're really not seeing results compared to the amount of effort that's being put into your Facebook pages. So Laura's going to walk you through some simple steps for heightening engagement of your fans, standing up from the crowd, and really growing your business using Facebook. So it specifically, what we're going to cover on that is the three keys to growing your celebrity author status on Facebook, six surefire ways to wow your fans and create a buzz, as well as five simple action steps that engage your audience and turn your fans into raving super fans who will sell for you. So so make sure that you jot your calendar down for April 9th. Again, that's 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, well, I think that about covers, that about covers the special announcements. So we will get started on the questions that came in. We have quite a few. I'd like to expand on them because, you know, I often see some of the same questions around similar topics. So I want to expand on some of them. And in fact, one's very timely that came in because I'm actually going to be this week's free training video is on this very very topic. So I want to answer your question and then also alert you to the fact that there's going to be a training video this week on it. So first and foremost, the question that comes in is, let's take Marcy's. Marcy called in. Marcy's question is about this week's free training video that we're hosting. That we have. And she says, you know, I'm self-employed. You like seeing clients, but you don't like finding them. You're feeling exhausted when you serve customers. And when you serve them, you're exhausted because you worked all day and you're taking home, you know, taking care of the family or a major portion of the family. So a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs get really torn between their business and working, you know, in the family responsibilities. It happens to everybody. But if you're trying to get it all done without asking for help, then you're going to wear yourself out. And I've come to realize that when you're feeling that level of exhaustion, frustration, you're just feeling like you need to do it all, you've got to change something. It's a message when you're feeling that exhaustion that something is way out of alignment. And while you may love the work that you do, you may be setting yourself up for failure or you might have gotten into a self-sabotaging cycle and perpetuating a cycle that may give you good feelings initially. What I mean by that is a lot of people love to be of service. They love their clients. They want to be of help to everyone. And you get good feelings from that. But you end up serving everyone and you overextend and overcommit. So over the years, I've really learned some things that have served me and a number of my go-getter private clients that really keep this improved flow to life. Because when you've got a very successful business, even if you're just getting started, you can get into that overwhelm and that overcommitment because you're trying to do everything yourself or you're trying to do a lot of it yourself. So here are some tips for you. Number one, first of all, commit to serving yourself. And I've often had this quote, you must first serve yourself to sustainably serve others. You must first serve yourself to sustainably serve others. because you serve no one if you don't stay healthy and aren't of a very clear mind. So this means continuously investing in yourself, because here's what happens when you continuously invest in yourself, like personal or professional development. You'll create a new awareness, and the awareness is going to change how you think and act, because you've changed your existing views or your existing limits on yourself. So number one, really commit to serving yourself, treating yourself well. Number two, you want to pay attention to how you're hardwired. A lot of people set up their businesses, and while they're executing, they don't realize the impact their hardwiring has on that, on their business. So for example, if you're an internal thinker, internal thinkers, you know who you are. You're an internal thinker if your best ideas are about an hour after a meeting. Now, if you have constant face-to-face interaction all day, and that is the nature of the work that you do, at the end of the day, you inherently need alone time to regroup, because face-to-face interaction is draining for you. Even if it's an hour where you shut your door, you've got to make room in your schedule for alone time to re-energize. Now, conversely, what if you're hardwired to be that external thinker? Well, you know you're an external thinker if you generate ideas by talking about them, right? You need that face-to-face communication to stay motivated. In fact, that's when you're motivated, is with you, when you are with people, when you are networking, and you get that consistent motivation. In that case, make sure you have that outlet for yourself every day to get that motivation met, to get that need met for face-to-face communication. Email, phone, I mean, that's okay. Phone's okay as long as you have an, but it's not going to help sustain you. You love that face-to-face interaction. Number three, you want to use your resources, right? Delegate your workload to contractors. Maybe create systems like your lead generation system, so that you're bringing in that consistent flow rather than fighting hard to bring in new clients. Use all of your resources. Now, there's many different ways that you can have different resources. You know, some people use their relatives or, you know, again, look around you. There's a lot of different resources available, even the colleges, community colleges, even the high schools. You might have work that they can do. Number four, you want to set realistic expectations. You know, you can set expectations high, but make sure they're realistic and harmonious for the kind of lifestyle you want to lead. And number five, and remember, have fun along the way. And number five, remember to let go of activities. Activities and relationships that really zap your energy. So if you're feeling resentful, let your feelings be your guide. If you're saying, you know, this is really not working, you may, your feelings are telling you something's not aligned here. So maybe it's time to move on. It's amazing what happens and what opens up for you when you really let go of a relationship or even activities that no longer serve you. So the next time you're really feeling that exhaustion because you're trying to do it all, stop trying to do it all and give yourself a checkup. Say, wait a minute here, what do I need to offload, offset, reshape the way I work? How do I need to invest in myself, put myself first? So, Marcy, I hope that was helpful. And let's see. I also want to expand on something because I've got a lot of questions about, you know, I'm having a hard time staying motivated. I can't get anywhere with my ideas. I'm having trouble, well, focusing on your message has something to do with your target market. But again, if you're having problems manifesting your ideas, having your ideas or concepts come into a reality, it could be, number one, because you don't have that trusted support around you. So I would say, first of all, this is great that we're changing the influencers exchange and we're doing that. But make sure that you're using your laser coaching calls and you're getting some of that need met there to really bounce ideas and crystallize those concepts. That's another advantage of getting involved in the mastery program that we have coming up as well, is a group of trusted entrepreneurs and support that you can have throughout the year to really stay motivated, get those concepts going. So that's going to be the new mastery program is going to be launched in April at the live event, Wake Up Profitable event. So you may want to keep an ear open for that. Again, that can be really helpful in crystallizing some of those concepts that you have. Georgianne emails that having trouble focusing on your message. Now, I've gotten actually this question from a number of you. Michelle also is trying to focus her message. When you first get involved in the Entrepreneurial Edge system, one of the first steps that you're going to take is really honing in on who your ideal client is through your preferred client profile. The problem is sometimes with the preferred is that sometimes you're putting in two very different markets. All right. Now I know when a lot of you get started, you're like, oh, I want to work with this group and I want to work with that group and I'm really passionate about working with entrepreneurs and then you want to work with corporate clients. Well, if you're trying to, reach out to corporate clients and you're trying to reach out for entrepreneurs, it's a very different market. So you're going to have problems creating marketing messages that are clear because those are two very different markets. And if you have two very different markets, you really want to identify which is the one, first of all, you're most passionate about. What is the one that you really find yourself drawn toward? And you also got to look at the profitability factor in there too. So is the market that you want to work in, is it profitable? And that may have to, you may have to do a little research there. But when you get exact, you're going to start attracting your ideal clients. And a lot of things funnel through that activity. So if you're really exact, then it's going to be a lot easier to write your marketing messages. One of my other clients too, I mean, I've had a lot of clients that have had this issue, but she was trying to write her marketing messages on her website, on her lead generation system. And every time she got to a certain area, she had to stop and think, well, wait a minute, how would entrepreneurs view this? Well, wait a minute, how would my corporate folks view this? It got to be so convoluted, and she wasted so much time because she always was going back and forth and doing that back and forth, right? Anytime she wrote a marketing message, or even if she, and at some point she hired someone to help her, and they even said, well, wait a minute, you've got two different things here, and when you do that, you're watering down your message. And it becomes, you end up spending twice as much time on something that should have taken a lot less time because, again, you've got to be focused on who your ideal clients are. So even that, even if you think, oh, I work with entrepreneurs and corporate clients, it's narrowing it down. No, it's still casting a wide net because those are two very different markets. So I'd recommend going through the preferred client profile and getting really clear on that. And if you have any other questions, feel free to let's talk about it in your laser coaching call. So I think that was Michelle. I hope I answered your question there. All right, next question is, how do I keep a mortgage client engaged long enough to close on a sale? That's a great question. First of all, I would look at your system. So when a person comes into a lead generation system, your lead generation system, what is the next step they're going to take? And what are the autoresponder messages that you're sending them to engage with them? Now, a lot of people think that if you have systems, if you have automated messages that they try to sell, they're speaking at you rather than to you. And those automated messages don't have to be long or complicated. They can be as simple as, how is it going for you? Have you read the whatever, or have you listened to the audio that you downloaded? Again, this is ways to engage with people, and you're not having to send the email out initially. It's sent on your behalf, but when they respond to it, then you can engage in, you can engage live with them. So there's an advantage to having automation, and it's how you use that automation that can really work for you. Keep those people engaged. Now, this goes for any business. So if you're listening to this and you say, well, I don't have a mortgage business, it doesn't matter. You can apply the same concept to your business, whether you're a speaker, you're offering different types of services, you're an author, you're a trainer, you're a chiropractor, it doesn't matter. Think about how you bring people through your sales flow. So they come into your lead generation system. Once they're in your lead generation system, what are the touch points? What is the frequency of those touch points? Meaning, what is the frequency of information that you're giving them? So I come into your sales flow. Let's say you're giving me an ebook or an audio that's going to help me with the first step. You're helping me with my problem. I use a mortgage. So what's the first step that, or even a question that you ask people to help them? They're looking for a mortgage. Is this the first mortgage? Is it your second mortgage? You want to engage with them. Thank you for downloading. Now, how can I help you? Is this your first mortgage? Tell me more about your situation. And it could be as simple as that. Kind of what got you interested? Why are you here? It's not unlike if you had a shop and somebody came into your shop and you greeted them. Or it's not unlike meeting somebody at a networking and you say, hey, tell me about your line of business. How did you get into what you're doing? You know, again, you want to think about the flow. Now, you wouldn't say, hey, you know, great, you're here. You know, you're going to ask them some questions first. So why not do that in your automated system? And through that process, you're going to see, and you might need to refine it. You might want to see what works, what doesn't work. Again, that will come over time, but again, you can keep people engaged in that way. The other way to do that, too, is to take a look at how you I think I muted everyone, but I'm getting some feedback here. Also, what you want to do is you want to make sure that when I lost my train of thought here. I'm sorry. I got some feedback here. Hang on one second. I'm going to make an adjustment here. Okay. All right. We're good to go. Also, So anyway, I hope that helps to answer your question. I kind of got a little distracted here, so I apologize with this technology. So let's see what else. So I hope, Larry, that answers your question about kind of how to keep people engaged. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So also think about the frequency. So once people come through that lead generation, let's say they're not taking action, they're not responding to the emails. You know, how do you keep them engaged? How do you educate them with what you do? And what's the frequency of that? So those are some things to think about. Let's see. Oh, I know. I also wanted to give an example of something. When you're looking at your lead generation system, when you're looking at engaging with people, think about how you do it. First of all, I know that many of you have heard me say this, and I'll say it again, that when you have, when you're using your lead generation system, make sure that you're not adding people to it, that people are opting in, all right? It's permission-based. You want them to opt in because they're saying, yes, I want to hear from you. Once they hear from you, what kind of information are you giving them to educate them? And when you do give them that information, make sure that it's consistent. Consistency creates trust over time, and people do business with people they know, like, and trust. The other thing is making sure that you're using a professional service that's out there. You know, if you're just getting started, MailChimp, but, you know, you all have the other ones that are in the resources section of your binders. So make sure that you're using one of those services, those automated services to send out your e-zine, because, you know, there's so many times that people add me to their list because they meet me, and then they end up sending me, adding me to their BCC section of their email. And, you know, again, you're going to be marked as spam. And nobody likes that. It's very outdated. So remember to keep really current. And also the importance of making sure that you're exact is, you know, I've gotten things where people say, oh, I have this, you know, I don't know. Actually, it was insurance. Insurance business. Oh, and I also do this health business on the side. Well, what is it? And so that's going to be confusing to your customer if you have two very different businesses you're trying to market at the same time. Now, is there a way to integrate that other service? Perhaps, but you've got to look at the sales flow. You've got to look at your sales flow to see when, at what point you introduce it. Because if you're trying to introduce it all, in the beginning, you're going to confuse your client or customer. So, hope that helps, Larry. And let's see. Let's see. The last question we have is from Michael. I think it's Michael. And Michael says, I'm really having problems cloning myself, that is, hiring good employees. So the major frustration right now is hiring good people who don't want to start their own business. And I know, Michael, you're having some concerns because the people that are really good want to start their own business. Well, not necessarily so. There's a lot of people out there who really want to work for someone else. They don't want to start their own business, but it's important for you to look in the right places. But before you start looking in the right places, you've really got to do an assessment with who you're hiring and why they would be attracted to working with you. Case in point, identify what are the values of your business. How would somebody know that there's a good connection between the two? And you see this, what is the way that you work? And you see this with companies all the time, is like they need this person, and the person comes in for an interview, and they ask them, well, how do you like to work? What are your values of the company? Well, the person you're interviewing is going to want to know if there's a match. Just like you're going to want to know there's a match with the person you're interviewing, they're going to want to know that too. So how would you describe the way you work? How, do you like people to make independent decisions? Do you have close follow-up as the manager of the organization or the lead owner of the organization? Do you have a more relaxed? Are you more stringent on the hours of work? All those questions you've got to think about before you start hiring employees. Or even contractors, because contractors are going to want to know the same questions. What's important to you? One of the things that I have is my vision statement. My vision is a world that embraces quality, nurtures wisdom, and values integrity, a world where together we share our uniqueness to motivate others to strive for excellence while demonstrating courage, character, and balance. Now, I use that as a foundation because my values are demonstrated in that vision. Why that's important is that when I'm meeting new contractors that are potentially we're going to work together, and I want people that are straightforward, that are going to tell me like it is, and vice versa, I'm going to have the same respect. I'm going to want to make sure that people have high integrity. But most importantly, how do you measure that in an interview? Well, it's something called behavior-based interviewing. And in behavior-based interviewing, these are things that you're going to go through in behavior-based interviewing. You're going to want to know the attributes of the person that you seek. So, for example, let's say you're hiring for a position. Do they need to have good decision-making skills? Do they need to have good verbal or maybe written communication skills? Now, by identifying which competency you need them to be proficient in, so let's say the competency is decision making. You want somebody with really great decision making. And so in decision making, they have to have the ability to evaluate situations, identify relationships, so they need to have good decision making skills. So what are some questions behaviorally, because behavior-based interview is based on the assumption that past behavior predicts future results or future behavior. So if you were hiring somebody and they needed to have really good judgment is based on the ability to develop maybe actions or decisions that was based on logical and factual information. Okay, so you're actually going to be rating them in an interview. So you might ask them, hey, give me an example of a time where you provided a solution to a problem when you weren't asked to by your manager, but that you saw needed to be improved. Now, by asking that question, you're looking for a couple of things. Number one, do they come up with an answer? Are they coming up with an answer that is related to the question that you asked, first of all, and are they showing that they used good judgment? Now, I remember asking this to somebody many, many years ago, and I've got a ton of stories I could tell you about some of the answers that I've gotten over the years. and I asked this question, and she says, well, yeah, I remember this time it was a difficult situation. I asked her, to describe a difficult situation. And she says, yeah, I remember this. I had a client that came, she had a home-based childcare business. And she says, I had a client that came in, and I remember that when we had a disagreement about something, and the woman was going on and on and on, so I just, you know, shut off the lights, and I went back upstairs. And yes, this was the actual answer. And I know some of you are laughing, but this was her answer. And she thought that this was okay. Needless to say, I didn't offer her the job because that was completely contrary to the customer service judgment that I needed for that particular position that I was interviewing for. And again, it's not just the one question. It's how all of the questions were answered, but there was a similar theme in all of her responses. And so, again, it's not going to be a fit. You'll know that by the nature of their answers. Now, the tendency of most people during behavior-based interviewing is to give generalities. Like what I usually do is, and after you listen to the general response, you're going to come back as the interviewer and say things like, that's a great general response, but I'm looking for a specific time that you provided a solution to a problem when you weren't asked by your manager that you saw needed to be improved, or a specific problematic time where you dealt with a customer. What did you do? How did you do it? And what was the outcome? So by the nature of saying, you know, give me a specific example, what did you do? How did you do it? And what was the outcome? So the situation, the task involved, the action, and the result. And when you do this, you're going to be able to get a better feel and a better clientele for those people that you're interviewing. Like also, you also want to identify how they're naturally hardwired for the job. So does the job involve a lot of routine, repetitive detail? Why is this important? Because you can actually attract people to do a job that is in alignment with their natural hardwiring. And this is a major component in hiring not only the best person for the job, but the best fit for the job. So now you're armed with behavior-based interviewing, number one. Number two, identifying their natural hardwiring. So how can you attract them? I'll give you a great example. In the hospitality industry, there was one reservations department that was really having a difficult time hiring reservationists. Not hiring them staying. They had a 99% turnover. And so I went in there, said, okay, what's the problem? And they said, well, we're sure that the person that we're hiring is an external thinker. We're sure of it. I said, why are you sure of it? Well, she's warm, she's friendly. And I said, and we're hiring those warm and friendly people. I said, well, okay. I said, what else about her? Well, over time and through one of the behavioral assessments, we found out that she was actually a hardwiring assessment, not a behavioral assessment, that the person that was in the job for a long time actually was more of love the routine, repetitive detail. And she loved her information over the phone. So what we ended up doing is placing an ad that said, are you a very nice, relaxed individual who loves, you know, face-to-face, or I'm sorry, who loves long-term relationships, developing long-term relationships? And, you know, we used all the buzzwords that would attract the person who loves that routine, detailed work. And the, you know, are you detail oriented? Well, people that you say that to are going to be attracted. Other people are going to be repelled by it, right? So they ended up hiring the people that more closely aligned with the routine, repetitive details that happens in a reservations, because that's all they're doing all day. They're on the phone. They're talking to different customers. And while they may be talking to different customers the act of what they're doing on the phone is repetitive. So they obviously went from 0% or 0% turnover in just 3 months by doing this. And then the people that were actually being hired and left the reservations department were actually going in the front desk. Why? Because they love face-to-face communication. So think about, excuse me, think about the job that you're going to have the person doing. The job that you're going to have the person doing. Is it routine? Is it repetitive? So once they learn, or is it ever changing? Is it ever changing? Is it a lot of face-to-face interaction? Is it a lot of discipline, routine things that need to be executed routinely? And if it is, you're going to hire a very different person than if it involves that face-to-face, ever-changing, ever-juggling type of position. And by using certain words that are placed in the advertisement, you can actually attract the exact person that you need to hire, or have an increased chance of hiring the person that fits the type of job. Combine that with behavior-based interviewing, and you've got a much more higher success rate to hire the right person. One thing I think I didn't mention, when you're done asking the behavior-based questions, remember to also rate them. And you're going to use the same rating scale that you do for everyone. So everybody that answers that question, you know, if it's a 1 to 3 scale, you know, 1 does not meet, 2, 3 exceeds, then you want to use that same scale. All right? You don't want to use different scales for different people. So Michael, I hope that was helpful to you. And let's see, we'll go ahead and open the line. So if you have any questions about anything that I covered, we can get those questions answered. So hang on 1 second. All right, does anybody have any questions about anything that I covered or want me to expand on? Go feel free to ask your question. This is where everybody's going to be really quiet. So don't forget, if you did mute yourself, to unmute yourself. So if you're trying to talk and ask a question, we can't hear you. No questions? Come on, guys, I know you're there. I can see you. No? Last chance. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and close the lines. I appreciate you all for being here today. Let's see. I think that was it. If I know some of you came on late, so just to remind you that April 9th is the next Business Accelerator call. And again, that's going to be with my guest, Laura Rubenstein. So it's Let's Get Down to Business on Facebook, so you don't want to miss that. A lot of, you know, how to grow your celebrity author status, how to wow your fans and create a buzz, and really action steps that really will help you engage your audience and turn your fans into raving super fans. So that's going to be on the 9th at April 9th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Remember, also the Wake Up Profitable Intensive. If you have a Bring a Friend ticket, remember to use those. We only have a short period of time for them to register and a few seats left. Again, that is the April 25th through the 27th. If you haven't registered yet, you want to do that on entrepreneurialedgesystem.com. And remember, also a reminder, the Influencers Exchange will start soon. We're going to be announcing the date. We're rolling that out at the Wake Up Profitable Intensive, so that's coming up. Feel free to also refer people to the Success Circle. Would love that. And don't forget the teleseminar, the training call that's happening this Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the 7 Secret Steps to Automating Your Income. So I'm real excited about that. We've got a lot of people that are going to be on that call, so you may want to come just a few minutes early to make sure that you get a line into the call. I think that's it for now. I want to thank you. We're going to wrap up a little early, but thank you all for coming on the call today. Hope these answers your questions, and we'll see you soon. Create a great life, everybody. Bye-bye.